I am super excited to announce that we now have a formal partnership with The Prospect Wizard. And when I say wizard, I mean wizard. Obviously, you have a website. This allows you to convert your website traffic visitors directly into leads. It's not just another chatbot, and it's not AI, but it allows a visitor to call, text, or leave a voicemail, immediately goes to you, your sales team, or anyone else in the club instantly. MIT shows a study that if you contact a lead within 10 minutes, chance of them converting goes up 9 times that of the average. We got the Atlanta clubs on it, Vita Fitness, Gold's Gym, Mountainside, City Fitness Philly, College Park. Become one of the next Halo companies to deploy the wizard. It's easy to use. Go to theprospectwizard.com. Get a free 30-day trial. Talk to my boy, Dave Gallen. He will get you all set up and let the leads flow based on the wizard. Go get them.
This is Pete Moore on Halo Talks NYC. I have the pleasure of bringing to the podcast Maxine Carrington. She is one of the leaders of Northwell, overseeing an 85,000 team member organization as the chief people officer. She's gotten several awards, high potential leadership development programs, top 25 women in healthcare, and we actually have her on Halo Talks. I'm excited to have Maxine. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Pete. Good to be here.
Awesome. So being a native New Yorker, we've all seen all the commercials and know the strength and the market position of Northwell. We all view it as a great brand and providing great services and probably one of the top organizations, you know, in the metro area. So talk about how you got to the point of being the chief people officer, some of the things that you are, working on and trying to, to push through this year and going forward, given all the changes in, what you could do for your employees these days.
Yeah, thanks so much, Pete. And this is, we say this is the business we're in and we take it pretty seriously. Our CEO, Michael Dowling, is very much committed to thinking bigger, more broadly, taking a broad definition or advancing a broad definition of what health is. So it's not just we wait for you to get sick and we react, but we actually try to go upstream. We look at communities. We look at the impact we can have in communities. And so for us, health is certainly, the all aspects of personal fitness and well-being, but it's also our stance on gun violence, on Black maternal and infant mortality, racism as a public health crisis, sustainability, right? And so just all of these aspects of health, that's important for us. And then certainly with our workforce, we say right with our workforce, we can't really be selling this to anyone else. So I began my journey with Northwell 15 years ago now. November made 15 years. I came, as I like to joke, as a recovering attorney from the New York City Mayor's Office of Labor Relations. Okay. I came to focus on labor relations. I stumbled into HR. And throughout my career journey, I've always thought about the human being. So even when I was an attorney with the city and I'm sitting in, let's say, an arbitration hearing on a disciplinary action with someone who's been disciplined for doing something or the other, I'm looking at this whole person thinking, how do we get here? Who are they? Could we have prevented this? What did we do to help and enable? And I didn't know what to do with that until I got here, honestly, at Northwell. And so that's sort of been one of my guiding principles, looking at the whole person, who were they, who are they today, where do we want them to be, and certainly the role of well-being and how folks live their lives, right? So the entire life, and now more specifically, as you talked about where we're going, from a team member standpoint, we are a great place to work. We are highly engaged. We're not perfect, but we've done a lot to invest in culture and people, but now it's about the whole household. Right? Lessons learned during COVID, particularly. How can we not just look at the employee, the team member, but how can we help the people they care most about? And how do we have a relationship with the whole household, raise the standard of health of the whole household? And in doing that, we know we have greater societal impact. So that's been definitely a focus for the team and me right now.
Now, when you think about return on investment, which a lot of, groups say, hey, I want to do all these things on a preventative health side. Yet, sometimes there's a, a black box of like, you know, well, if I provide these wellness services or I provide these, you know, a gym pass and I pay for that and I subsidize it, or I do, you know, cooking classes and are costs related to that. How important is it for you to say, okay, here's like the actual data associated with that versus saying right now, look, I know this is impacting people. I know we're making change. Maybe we shouldn't look at this quantitatively right now. Maybe we should kind of look at it on a longer term basis. So how do you internally say, hey, I want to launch all these programs. I want this budget. But at the same time, like, I'm not going to show you what an ROI is because this is not all about ROI. This is about like the long game.
No, agree. And look, I think we have to show the ROI. Honestly, healthcare tends to have a thinner margin than some other industries, other businesses. And so I think a lot of other companies can learn from us because we are an evidence-based industry. Right. We have to be grounded in research, and that applies here. And so, you know, when today, the debate is not what it was before because the evidence is there. You could turn on Netflix, which is pretty accessible, and see all the health documentaries right now. You can read the many articles out there. So the research, the evidence is there to support this, and it is a matter of constantly educating people, certainly. The other piece of it is we today are advancing this concept of the team member as a customer.
Interesting.
And so you've got to have a competitive advantage of, as a company to be able to retain people, right? You could bring them in, but can you retain them? Mm-hmm. So you've got to listen to your customers. And if your customer is telling you, I want to be healthier, I want to be well because I can be happier, right? I can certainly be more productive for you, but I can live a longer, better life. You got to lean into that. You've got to hear it. And you can't always deliver on everything the customer wants, don't get me wrong. But we know this is something that we see and that our programs do tend to be relevant and resonate with our workforce. So we're leaning into what they need to help them. Yeah.
So, I love the idea of having like an employee deemed as like an additional customer to the company because they are the most important stakeholder, especially in with health clubs and boutique fitness studios. You know, you walk into one of those locations, the labor or the human capital is the brand. I mean, they are representing your brand. Yeah. It's not like a packaged product.
That's right.
That you know, a Clif Bar and I unpackage it, and that's like my relationship with the brand is the what's in the packaging. The brand is the human experience. So I like that.
That's right. And if you don't listen to your customer and know their needs and expectations and try to meet them, they're going to walk.
Sure.
Right. So same concept.
So, so when you look at it and every year it comes out saying like, here's the things that employees want from their employer. Mm-hmm. A lot of it's, hey, I want a subsidizer. I want them to pay for my health club membership, or I want a meditation and yoga classes, or I want to get a massage, you know, once a week or once a month where somebody comes in. What are some of the things that you deem as the most important, you know, top three, if you have those? And is that based on like a survey that you do or based on like usage? Maybe you could give us some insights because you've got a big pool of people. So it's probably, the data is probably pretty accurate.
And by the way, you quoted 85. We are now up to over 86,000. So we are a mini city, as I like to say. I was born on an island that's about 100,000 people, a little island called Grenada. And so I always compare that because we're getting to 100,000, I'm pretty sure, soon. Gotcha. So we do a lot of listening. That's core to our kind of human-centered experience strategy at Northwell. So we're always listening. We certainly do surveys. We walk about. We do focus groups, all of it. And so through the years, there have been things that are pretty consistent. Treat me with humanity and dignity. Mm-hmm. Listen to me and respect me. Care about me. And that definition of caring is everything, you know, as demonstrated by the items I just mentioned, but care about my life. Mm-hmm. Not just about me, the worker, but care about my life. And we saw this after Hurricane Sandy. I'll never forget. I think that was a turning point, at least regionally, for a lot of employers. People's lives were devastated and they needed help. And in many instances, they were turning to us to get the help. So we were putting people in homes, right, for a long period of time in some cases. We were helping with clothing. We were helping with food, with, you know, financial assistance, all of it. And I think that was one of the sparks. COVID would be another one, right, where you meet people where they are. You meet their physical needs. I would say also there's this piece around sense of community. A lot of folks are lonely. And I think we don't, you know, the Surgeon General, you saw about a year or so ago, put out a report on loneliness in America.
Yeah. We've been talking about that for 7 years. We kind of look at it and say, if we need to solve loneliness, diabetes, and obesity, those are the three things that we want to try to solve in the HeLa sector.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about loneliness, just to interrupt you for a second, because you
don't love it. No, please, please.
So about 7 years ago, I spoke at the Clinton Health Matters Conference in Palm Springs. And right after I did a 5-minute speech, Clinton came on and he interviewed the top three insurance CEOs. And he said to Bruce Broussard, who was the CEO of Humana, he said, "What's the biggest issue in the healthcare industry?" And he paused and he said, "Loneliness is the biggest issue." And I was kind of taken aback because I thought he was going to say heart disease or, you know, smoking or, you know, overeating or portion control or what have you. And then it kind of struck me that, wow, like, and he told the story. He said, there's a woman who was like 82 years old. She was down in Florida. She stayed in her apartment and we basically picked her up. We brought her to a community center so she could play bingo and do arts and crafts and be around people. And he said, if we could solve loneliness and get people out of their own heads and actually interacting,
love that.
The peer benefits of that, you know, control people's behavior. Because when you're on your own, you have a tendency to not be accountable to anyone but yourself and your internal thoughts. So that's when we kind of anchor ourselves to this loneliness idea. Yeah. And, you know, I've gone through bouts where I'm, you know, heads down on a deal. And like the only thing that matters is the transaction. And you kind of detach from other things or you make choices about, hey, I'm not going to go to the gym today because I got to work on this, do this conference call. And when you start making those kind of, you know, habitual actions, it kind of takes you out of socialization. People say, hey, I'm not going to invite you to dinner because you never show up anyway. It's kind of a slippery slope. So what are some of the things that you've seen on your programming to help people solve loneliness? Is it simply, you know, providing events and making sure that they get there? Or do people say, hey, I got some loneliness issues. Here's, you know, give me a prescription for that.
I think it's all of it. And, you know, what you described, there are times for intentional solitude, right? And there can definitely be benefits from that. But we know societally, there's a huge disconnect happening, right? Heads down on the phone and all of that. We're seeing with kids even. And we know that's having an impact. And even, you know, the virtual environment. So while we've sought to be flexible as a health and well-being organization, you think about people who are at home, let's say for hours, staring at a screen in meetings, right? Yep. And not getting up, not getting air, not connecting with other human beings in a live, positive way.
Yeah.
And so that is definitely something we're concerned about. And so let's take the different portions of our workforce. If folks are working virtually, we're advancing ways that you can bring your teams together intentionally around health and well-being. Gotcha. So we've got a team at Northwell. They do a lot of health challenges. They meet quarterly. They set goals.
I was
going to
ask you about that.
They connect. Yeah, they walk together. They hike together. It's pretty cool. And we're seeing more of that happening. We have an annual walk at Northwell. It's walk to teams are walking the distance of a destination. So the first one was walk to Paris. They got entered into a raffle to win trips to Paris. That came from our CEO. There's been to Dublin, the parks.
How long did it take to walk to Paris?
I don't even remember. It takes a few months. and so it's like teams of 10 connecting from all of the health system. But what's amazing there is this habit shift happens, right? So now I start to walk. After the challenge, I keep walking. And oh, by the way, I'm now more connected to people. We have networking events, certainly. We bring people together a lot for celebration and gathering. And that's so important. And then to your point, I think there's a stigma attached to it too, right? There's an embarrassment around saying I'm lonely. And so looking at the language we use is something we're focused on right now. So one of our well-being pillars is social and social connection, right? So we're not saying loneliness, we're saying social connection. These are the health benefits of social connection. You look at what folks are learning now around people who attend church, who fellowship or some form of worship setting. They fellowship together. There are health benefits to that, as we now know, right? And so even the rebranding of our wellness initiative at Northwell, our program, is going to be called Team Well. And the concept there is we team this. We do it together. We're connected together. You're not alone in your journey. So even, you know, I would say from the branding to the substance of what we do, we have to be really intentional.
This is Pete Moore. I want to let you in on a little secret. There's this company called Promotion Vault, and what they do is they give out rewards from retailers that allow you to incentivize your members without having to do zero down and 1 month free, or giving away shakes, or giving away t-shirts. What you want to do is build a rewards program that lasts, that people value, and that doesn't discount your own products and services. So here's the deal. There's something called Rewards Vault. The Rewards Vault is going to allow a member to set up their own profile. They are going to answer questions. You are going to get those answers. You're going to be able to target those members, and you're going to reward them inside your club, inside your spa, and outside of the club and outside of the spa to get them to become loyal, to get them to pay their monthly dues, and to be rewarded properly for the actions. A lot of companies are cutting back on rewards. You shouldn't be. Promotion Vault's your answer. Trust me, this is real.
You know, and I always say this, like, words matter, you know, like fitness industry, you know, I tell people, like, do you still have like a head of sales? Like, are you actually selling me something? Or shouldn't your like people that sign up new members, shouldn't they be called like a motivational specialist? Like, isn't that what it's really about? Motivating people to actually stick with a plan. And am I selling you on bettering yourself, or is that obvious?
Right. Yeah. Heads and hearts. Right. Yeah.
It's like the word sell comes from like sell you down a river. Like, it's like to trick you. Like, it's actually the derivation.
Yeah, that's not a good origin story at all.
What's that?
Not a good origin story.
Not a good origin story. Yeah, I'm selling you something, like tricking you to buy something that is not worth what you're supposed to be paying for it.
Right.
So, yeah.
And I'm turned off right away.
Yeah. I go through this when I do seminars, and I say, let's rethink what titles are, because titles matter. Yeah. And if you have a sales quota, I really don't have should I have a sales quota, or should I have like a membership, like engagement quota? Like,
that's
how many people can
I
convince to basically say, I want to be like you, or I want to do what you guys do. So a couple things. One is that I want to cover here while we've got a couple minutes. One is, you know, there's a tidal wave of HSA and FSA dollars that are now effectively allowed to be released based on the IRS redefinition of how that can be used. There are several groups out there that we just learned about over the last couple months that are getting you a letter of medical necessity, which will pay for your mom's infrared sauna at an HSA, FSA dollar.
We talked about,
I'll pay for it. Being able to use my health club membership and actually put that on my HSA, FSA, or fitness studios like SoulCycle. Mm-hmm. So how do you look at that and say, all right, I want you to actually use what's in your account. I'm assuming you guys build up. Do you have HSA or FSA?
We do. Yeah. And we definitely allow for that for sure. You know, that's one path, and we fully support it and have lobbied for things like that before. You know, there's this aspect of affordability that, as we know, can be a barrier to certain lifestyles, right? So we know of communities that are healthy food deserts, that they don't have access to fruit, to vegetables, et cetera. Or, you know, walking is an easy kind of routine you can embark on, but what if it's not safe to walk in my neighborhood?
Yeah.
Right. And so there's a whole economic equity piece here that we have to think about. So any instance where we can make it more accessible and affordable is something we have to contemplate and support. You know, Gym Pass is another engagement for us where we partner with this company, GymPass. It gives our team members access to whether it's gyms or virtual experiences or fitness apps, health and well-being apps, kind of meeting them where they are and meeting their needs. And what's great is they're not having to lock in to a single gym membership with one company.
Right.
They can be flexible. It could be near work. It could be near home. It could be if they travel. And then we're subsidizing some of the cost. And so that makes that price point lower for them. Mm-hmm. And so that's been another one that's been resonating.
Yeah. Can you give us any guidance without actual dollars associated with, what is a level of subsidy that is material enough to the member and basically makes them think, hey, my employer actually is putting dollars against this that matter versus to be able to just market it and say, hey, look, this is something that we're trying to provide for you because everything's going self-serve anyway. It's not like
I'm
gonna get this health club membership. I actually want you to do what you want to do.
Correct.
And then how do you add that up and say, okay, that's like dollars well spent on the IRR.
I love it. And so the thing we like about a company like a GymPass is you have various membership levels and price points. And each one unlocks, increased services, let's say. And so once our subsidy plugs in, for some folks, they're not paying anything. For some, it might be around $10 or so. And then all the way up to folks who can't afford, the more premier plans. I'm not sure where they find the time, but those are the people kind of living in a gym, I guess. Yeah. And so that's it. It's kind of a sliding scale concept and meeting people where they are, but it's giving them the choice.
Gotcha.
Based on their means.
We wrote a book over COVID. It's called Time to Win Again. It's all analogies between sports and business. We're going to send you a copy.
Yeah, please.
Book.
Thank you.
But one of the things that we had is like a takeaway between sports and business. And I watched the Michael Jordan Last Dance documentary.
I loved it.
I wrote the book, which is amazing. Yeah. And one of the chapters says, play man versus zone. When somebody scores against in basketball, and someone hits a 3-pointer against you, there's really nobody to blame, right? We're playing zone. That was you or you. It's not one person.
Right.
So one of the things we've told our health club operators over the last several years is to say, look, why don't you play man versus zone? Why don't you play man and say, like, look, if you've got a member specialist or a salesperson, let's say, but let's morph them into a member motivational specialist. If you've got, let's say they're responsible for 200 members, like that's not an overarchingly intimidating number of people that they could say, hey, look, you're responsible for this person to stay in the club. You're responsible for them to actually, hit their usage numbers or hit their goals. Because a lot of people go to health clubs. And the reason why they don't go continuously because they fail or they fall off.
Yeah.
And I feel like when I say to someone, how'd you do last month? And they're like, oh, we sold 300 memberships. I'm like, well, that's great, but you lost 298.
Right. The retention factor,
and
right?
Who's to blame? And they're like, well, we're playing zone. So it's really, there's no one to blame, right? So when you take a look at your group of almost 100,000, employees right now, obviously you can't necessarily have like a one-to-one relationship, but how do you think about being the chief people officer? And I kind of feel like I know where you're headed with this. How do you kind of look at personalization and also like, how do you scale that?
Yeah, I love it. So our HR team right now, when they listen to this, they're going to be all smiles because we are right now restructuring HR to enable greater personalization.
Okay.
And so going from the way we're structured today to this customer concept of team member and family services, people leader services, our business leader services, and then HR, simple. And the goal is to get to know each of those personas as much as we can to continue to listen, understand their needs and expectations, meet them where they are. And so part of it is your infrastructure, how you're set up. Two, I love you use the word relationship. Because I can bring you in, but if I don't have a relationship with you, that you fall in love literally with the organization or whatever it is that it's in the business of doing, if you're not connected to the mission, you're not going to stay. And so a lot of it is first have a relationship with me, listen to me, see me, know me. And there are ways at scale you could do it. You can use technology for sure. And then who are the credible messengers within their environment? Enter the leader, So how do we enable the leader who's closest to those team members? And by the way, how do we take care of our leaders too, right? That's important. Mm-hmm. But how do we enable them to be messaging in the right way, paying attention to the right things, supporting in the right way? You know, that's so important for, so I think the systems you set up, the infrastructure, and then who are the credible messengers or relationship managers, to use your term, that can help support that. That's the only way you get at it. And then to your point on gyms, I think a lot can be learned from healthcare. We could be in the business of episodic health, where we just wait for you again to get sick.
Sure.
Or we today look at what we call population health. What are we seeing in the data within certain populations? And then how do we focus on a more preventative strategy, right, to meet their needs? Mm-hmm. So Northwell today has adopted schools. We've adopted whole communities. We have everything from mobile healthy food vans showing up to, you know, building relationships with the schools, with the faith-based organizations in those communities as well. Again, listening, not assuming what they need, listening to what they need, and then helping to meet those needs. Very simple. And over time, trust is built.
This is Pete Moore. Here's the last tip for you of the podcast. We are partnered up with a company called Higher Dose, higherdose.com. They are the leader in workout recovery products, infrared technology, LED light masks, neck enhancers, and other products such as PEMF mats and sauna blankets. If you have not gotten on the workout recovery train yet, your time and your stop is now. You got to get these products in there before these workout recovery and spas end up saturating your market. Having your members walk out of the club and going into one of their locations for $200 per month, where they're paying $39 to you. Let's become an expert in workout recovery if we are already an authority in workouts. Higher Dose, check it out. There's a wholesale code, and we look forward to helping you augment your products and services to meet the demands of your members. And hey, let's get people happy, healthy, and sweating, and the recovery should be just as good as the workout.
So my last question here, as we close out, you know, there's a lot of new technologies that come out that are trying to talk to people like you about employee engagement, rewards, recognition.
Yeah.
A lot of that is software. A lot of it is kind of like bells and whistles. Mm-hmm. So are there certain frustrations that you have that are being, that you're going out and trying to find a solution for? Or are there people that come to you and you're kind of like seeing what, whether it's AI or whether it's, you know, some kind of mobile app or some kind of tracker?
Yeah.
I'm sure you're like inundated with people always saying like, hey, buy this, get on this SaaS, you know,
always
hey, this is always bang, right? And it's like, okay, but you have no customers, you have no data, there's no evidence associated with this. So just in closing here, how do you as the chief people officer kind of say, hey, I got to manage, I got to return on my own time as Max pointed. I don't really have time to like look at every new trend or every new venture or every new widget that's out there. But I know what my frustrations are, and I'm going to go out and solve for those. Or if it doesn't solve a frustration I currently have, you know, I really don't have time to like evaluate that. Can you just give us a little bit of commentary on that?
So, you know, look, I think we have a vision for, we know the experience we're delivering today. We have a longer term vision for where we want to go. And so it's, we're always learning. And so we'll listen and meet with as many people as we can, as many companies as we can. Mm-hmm. Northwell even has a ventures division. So we have companies that pitch to us who want to even go into business with us as well.
Okay.
It helps fund our mission side, right? We can't just rely on traditional revenue streams anymore. Yeah. And so we're always learning. I think we look at a few things, particularly AI right now. Can you help us do things faster so we could spend time doing the things that are more meaningful? Mm-hmm. Be more efficient, right? So that our time is freed up, certainly, but the experience for folks is better. Communication is better, et cetera. There's a cool new platform right now we're working with. The company is called Laudio. And what they've evolved to now is this leader operations dashboard. And so in essence, it's pulling insights from all of our tech and it is nudging the leader to take certain actions. So Nurse Pete seems to be working a lot of overtime. Hey, leader, check in on Pete, wow. Right? Pete's okay. Thank Pete, but also make sure you're distributing overtime equitably, giving that opportunity to everyone. And coming back to making sure Pete's okay, because we're not sure Pete should even be working this amount of overtime, or it's Pete's birthday, or it's love Pete's it. Graduation, or just other things pulling from the data we have. And so that's making life easier for the leader who's busy to be more intentional and bring these alerts to their consciousness so then they can then act. So I think from an experience standpoint, we're certainly looking at that. And we've infused AI, you know, in many ways, but definitely more to come.
Well, thanks for using Nurse Pete as the example. I like that. I appreciate you rewarding me and recognizing my accomplishments.
You're a member of the team.
Am I overtime work that seems to not get paid for, even though I'm the managing partner. Anyway, so it's been great talking to you. I really am excited about what you're doing. Congrats on what you built.
Thank you.
I really think people need to understand, you know, when you're managing an organization of your size, you know, you can really move the boat by putting in the systems and having
That's
the right,
right
words associated with it and the mission and it's scaled. So congrats on doing that, because I know it's not easy. And the personalization and using Northwell as a role model of this is how you do things. This is one of the reasons why we were trying to get to you, because we want people to operate their business in the Halo sector. Even if you have a studio, like, there's no reason why you can't run your mission with your employees as stakeholders and
that's right.
customers.
That's right. That's right.
And I think that's like a real change in narrative. And not saying like, oh, I pay my instructor, you know, this amount of money and it's low. And that's like something that you like brag about, like
right.
that's not to brag about, like bragging about yeah. is like, I got rock stars across my entire organization and they don't leave because I'm supporting them, you know,
yeah.
and I think that's a big benefit,
yeah.
you know, in all, and it waterfalls into everything
yeah.
That they do. When people are happy with their job, they're usually
and looking
happy.
At their whole life. Right. And those yeah. that are important to them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you got any quotes that as we...
So it's so funny. We have an orientation program that we do every week for new team members to the org. Michael Dowling shows up, speaks with them, et cetera. And I just started also formally joining. We do a session called Truly Inclusive.
Wow.
You'd love it. And so there's a quote that I came across recently. It says, they asked for a quote on leadership. And it says, great leaders don't set out to be a leader. They set out to make a difference. It's never about the role. It is always about the goal. And I think if you focus on making a difference versus a title,
yeah.
everything right will flow from that.
Love it.
And there'll
Love
be an
it.
Energy that flows from that that kind of motivates people more than just, you know, I am leader, hear me roar.
Awesome. Well, yeah. I'm glad we did this in the morning. This is going to start of a great day. Appreciate
life.
Your time. Love what you're doing. Hopefully we can use some of the things that we've got going on here. We can solve loneliness, obesity, diabetes together. So you can just turn
yeah.
into a preventative health company and nobody gets sick. And that'd be awesome.
That's right. That would be the goal.
All right. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Take care.